Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. The Chiefs get in the win column for the first time in 2025. There's still plenty, obviously, to get into. Some positives, some negatives.
All things are
everything's
fixed.
Good. Everything's good to go now.
A win against the Giants solved it all.
Everything is good. There's no issues with this football team whatsoever, right, Dusty, as he continues to give weird faces across the glass. We are streaming on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, wherever you want to watch the show. You can do so. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. You could always hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. And a little bit later on in the show at noon, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid on a Monday is right here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's just get right into it. You said it last week when we were discussing about it. Overall, yeah, there's things that have to get better, but you just have to get a win one way or the other. It doesn't matter if it's ugly and well... This one qualifies, even though I understand they won by double digits, and I understand they covered for the first time since the divisional round of the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. So it's weird in a game in which the first half was horrendous and one of the worst displays of football period of
one
the 2025 season.
One of the least enjoyable
season.
Experiences I've had watching football under Andy Reid, yes.
Yeah, I just mean combined. Like between the Chiefs and the Giants, it was the worst first half of football we've seen from any team in the 2025 season, like any game, like in the first half combined. It was that. And yet they ended up winning by friends between the two halves. But it was so bizarre in the first half because I felt like even compared to the Chargers game, they looked like a team just had no composure. To me, they, at that time, they didn't look very well coached.
Nope.
You didn't have some of your leaders making the plays they have to make. You had everything that could go wrong kind of stuff happening. You had your Juwan Taylor penalty. You had your sideline blow up, which we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. You had Mahomes making a throw he really shouldn't have made. It had everything in the first half. And thank goodness they were playing the New York Giants. That's all I could say about the first half of that game.
It was genuinely awful to watch. We were just texting. Anybody I was texting with was like, what a miserable experience this is to watch this first half of football. Like, everything out of sync, as you had previously mentioned. Nothing looked comfortable or right. And while the second half was significantly better, significantly better. Mahomes was better. The offense was better. The defense was equally as good. I don't like that the Chiefs continue to play in football games. They make it feel like two teams who are 0-2 playing like two teams who are 0-2. I'm used to the Chiefs looking like a fundamental organization of winning because, well, that's all they've done. Watching the first half of football, if I had like dropped you in out of nowhere and try to convince you that that was a team who had played in five of the last six Super Bowls, you'd have thought I was nuts and still had their starting quarterback available to them. Not rolling out some backup. It's like, what are we doing in this first half? It was not a tale of two halves. They were better in the second half, which I'll take. But like, it is hard to just like wash away what I watched in the first half.
It wasn't so much just, you mentioned five of six seasons. It was the fact that virtually the same roster won 15 games last year. And then to watch that first half and you're saying, honestly, retroactively, Andy Reid should be coach of the year. And Patrick Mahomes retroactively should be MVP. That's how I felt in the first half. Yeah. Like how did this same squad, virtually the same squad, win 15 games? That's what I was thinking at halftime. And then, as you said, things changed in the second half. And I felt like that opening drive in particular to start the second half was their best drive of the season. And we can, as the week goes on, as we get former players on the show, and we talked to Danon Hughes and we talked to Nate Taylor and others throughout the week, get their more detailed perspective on exactly what they thought was different. But just for the casual eye watching that first drive to open up the second half, you notice there was more balance. You mm-hmm. noticed that Breshard Smith was on the field a little bit. They did a little misdirection. It was their
broke
best
few tackles.
It was their best looking drive of the entire season. That drive right there is what gives you hope that even while you're waiting for Worthy and Rice to get back in the picture, are they capable of doing that? That's the first time all year that they had a drive. You're like, you know what? That'll work. That'll play even with the current grouping of personnel where we know how limited they are. I mean, that's just the reality of it. They are very limited personnel-wise currently on offense.
And it still took a great throw on third down to get the touchdown and not settle for another field goal, by the way. A dart, a missile in for the end zone. And look, Mahomes still had to do some Mahomes stuff. That play before half that they get the eventual PI on, he made two defenders miss, got all the way to the sideline, then threw the ball 65 yards down the football field in order just to get the call for Hollywood Brown that got him 3 points mm-hmm. before half. So there was still some, like, do some superhero stuff. Look, in reality, it's not even that hard to diagnose what the issues are for the Chiefs right now. They don't run the ball very well. The offensive line is not playing nearly as good enough as it needs to, and they don't have enough weapons. Like, it's not hard to diagnose where their issues are coming from or what are the consistent issues coming from. I think we can all see it. The question is whether or not they're ever going to snap out of this and if they're going to hit a point where you can actually trust this team to be consistent on offense. That first half gold, it was so bad that I felt like if they ended up losing that game or even just winning 12-9 or whatever the hell it was pacing for in the early going, I think it was getting hard to keep coming into the show and be like, I'll wait for my judgment on the offense until Worthy and Rice coming back. Because that first half, no one, Randy Moss in his prime wasn't saving the first half offensively of that team.
Yeah, penalties, mistakes all across the board. I mean, play calling, it was a complete effort in terms of bad football. Complete effort from everybody to contribute to that offensively in the first half. I mean, even one moment in the game where I think it was, I don't know if it was a third down play, but it was a tight end screen out to Travis Kelce. And in the year 2025, what are you hoping to get out of that? Like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that works.
How many people are going to have to make miss?
Right. And just where he's at, you know, athletically at this stage of his career, that play should not exist for Travis Kelce at this point in his career, as far as I'm concerned. And so there were moments like that throughout the entire first half. But I really do think that second half opening drive is what you should be kind of grasping onto if you're looking at.
If you're trying to feel optimistic, I would.
Well, that was the personnel they're going to have for another 4 weeks, Cody. Mm-hmm. And they're capable of doing that. And they did it against a pretty darn good front against the Giants. That's your drive that you look at and say, okay, they're capable of doing that. And you noticed they had, as I said, the balance it had. There was all of a sudden they went under center. There was also a screen pass that was worked in there. I mean, it was like everything that everybody's been kind of saying, can you work in a little bit more? And yeah, it was successful as well.
It's so much of it is just, you're right. If I want to feel, they got 3 more weeks until Rice comes back. Maybe Worthy comes back this week. We can talk about it later. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to come back on Sunday, only to find out he once again was a scratch before they even got to the game. He was a limited participant the entire week, was a scratch on Saturday, didn't even travel with the squad. So they were obviously further behind than I was thinking on where they were going to be with Xavier Worthy, because I thought there was a chance he'd come back. Now, they did enough in the second half that I will still cling to the hope that there is a good NFL offense inside this team somewhere that exists. It doesn't feel that way right now, even in the second half. But you're right. That second half of the drive was their best drive of the game. And look, Tyquan Thornton, while not, I'm not trying to claim he's a superstar who's now going to be a future NFL Hall of Famer, he is clearly their best receiver right now. He has given them real juice in the wide receiver room. And I think by the time, and I don't know how the roles are going to work out, so we can get into that maybe too, but I think pretty clearly he's made himself what should be the third highest targeted guy once Worthy and Rice are even back in the fold, because he's done a nice job getting up and deep. So at least they found something on offense that works.
Even targeting in the two losses, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but in the two losses, if you were looking for anything positive on offense, really the only thing you could find was that through the first 2 weeks, they were able to, multiple times a game, scheme open, or at least just say, hey, Tyquan Thornton's going to run past the guy. get Tyquan Thornton open down the field. They did it in week one, even though they lost the game. They did it in week two, as we all saw, on the overthrow, and then they eventually connected. And then we obviously saw it play out a few times. And Tyquan held up the well, I got it.
That's a great photo.
Yeah, it is. And he joked about, he was asked about the celebration. He's like, I was just like letting everybody know that I had it, letting the sideline know so nobody had to worry that I caught it this time. He's been somebody they have been able to get open. You can see why Patrick Mahomes is excited about him, because he's got an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. You know, we saw it a little bit towards the end of last season with Worthy, and that's the part where maybe we'll get to see it this Sunday. We'll see. But do they have two guys now down the field that you can say Mahomes has an opportunity to go and stretch the field a little? Because that's been, like, overall the issues that exist. So much of it is still, do they have anybody to stretch the field to make it easier for the guys in the intermediate routes? Well, Tyquan Thorne is now 3 weeks in a row put on tape. Clearly, he's a threat. Clearly. And this was the biggest threat in a primetime stage now on Sunday Night Football with everybody watching. And so I think that's huge. There's no doubt right this second when it's him and it's Brown and it's Juju and Remigio basically and Kelsey. Yeah, Thornton is their biggest playmaker on the field currently. And that is wild to say, like, back up to months ago and everything. But that's the reality. Tyquan Thornton, in a roundabout way, because of that catch, you could argue if this season ends up going the way you hope it still goes, he may have saved their season, Cody, by making that catch.
Well, and Mahomes may have saved the season when he slapped the ball at the defender's hand from his own mistake, but also I am not ignoring that Isaiah Pacheco was turned around backwards on that play for what seemingly is no reason, so we can get to that too. Mm-hmm. Tyquan is interesting because overall, it's objectively, I think, a negative. The Tyquan Thornton, a wide receiver who is on a 3-14, wide receiverless New England Patriots team who was cut, is your number one weapon. That cannot be good. Like, just overall, that cannot speak volumes about where you are offensively. But if all of a sudden you're telling me that Rashee Rice, who can be a top 20 wide receiver in the Chiefs' mind, and I think can be, Xavier Worthy, who had a tremendous second half to his rookie year, and now all of a sudden Tyquan Thornton is a complementary piece to the offense, now you can talk me into, like, building a little bit of something. But in the meantime, he is kind of a saving grace, because, like, they don't have a lot of guys to throw to. And Tyquan has made himself a viable target for Patrick Mahomes. And he deserves a ton of credit for that.
No doubt. And Mahomes clearly trusts him, right, to be able to continue to throw it down the field at the rate they are. But they have been able to get him open. They're going to continue, I think, to get him open down the field. You mentioned, hey, when Worthy and Rice are on the same field. So let's fast forward to week eight or so when everybody's there and hopefully they're healthy and the whole grouping is there. What does his role look like? He clearly is going to have the deep threat all year, right? That's going to be his role. The question will be, and this is where, like, I don't even know if the depth chart really matters, Cody. You know, you were saying, like, you said, I think he should be higher on the depth chart than Hollywood Brown in a month or two when he's there. I don't even know if I care where he's at on the depth chart, because I think it's more about continuing to take the shots down the field. He maybe will develop into more of an all-around receiver, but he is probably not going to be an intermediate guy for this team and short passes and move the chains type of guy. I say that, and yesterday he did come up with three big third down catches. But when everybody's in the mix, I still think he's still going to be viewed as a deep threat. Well, they're going to go to Rice. You know, to me, you know, Hollywood Brown is still going to have a role in this team. I don't think we should now, just 3 weeks in, act as if Hollywood Brown's suddenly just not going to find himself on the football field in a month. I don't believe that. If he's healthy, Hollywood Brown will be on the field. But in terms of taking shots multiple times a game, Tyquan Thorne is going to continue to do that, and there's no reason why they would pivot from that.
I just think it'd be more of a timeshare than originally thought. Tyquan, although he was our camp darling, winner of the initial Camp Darling Island, if you had told me what his total receiving yardage is now, Gold, I would have told you that wasn't going to be way off of what I thought he'd get for the season. Like, maybe after the Rashee Rice suspension, I would have changed the number a little bit. But, like, I thought Tyquan Thornton was going to be like a 300-yard guy on the year. Like a contributor that you catch a couple of deep balls to. He already has 171 yards. More importantly than anything is the deep pass. Not for small reason. They had Xavier Worthy on this team last year. They, for 2 years, are the worst deep play, big play team probably in the NFL that matters, let's say. There are probably five or six teams that are worse at it. The low lifes of the NFL who are worse at it. But his average depth of target is like 25 yards down the field. His average reception is 19 yards per catch all day with that. He only has 9 catches on the year. Yeah. It feels like way more than that because every catch he makes is for 19 yards. So you absolutely feel it. And so at the end, they've already found this is the one bright side we talk about anytime like you're missing a player is that you know Tyquan Thornton's role now. When everyone's back and everything's back here, we're talking week 7, right? Because Rashee Rice actually gets a return to the practice field halfway through your suspension. You get a return to the practice field. So Rashee Rice.
No, he's not at the practice field. He's in the facility.
Go to meetings.
Yeah, right.
Practice week up, maybe, is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So he's back. He's back in the facility. Rashee Rice is around. So, like, you can feel the, like, yeah. Okay, we're only a couple of weeks away. Rashee Rice is around the corner. You found out what Tyquan Thornton does well for you, and you can use that. Like, that's a real thing. That's a real part of the weapon. I just wasn't, with almost zero uncertainty. He is already a better wide receiver for this team than Hollywood Brown. Like, I don't have any.
He's done more to this point, and it's only 3 games in. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of it is because Hollywood Brown barely played last season. So what's funny is it's not like Tyquan Thornton's played that many fewer games than Hollywood Brown has in a Chiefs uniform. I mean, that's the other part of the whole deal. I mean, yes, who has to this point contributed more to winning a football game in their career, in a Chiefs career? Tyquan Thornton. Absolutely. There's no argument with that.
And they have a similar amount of yardage.
Right.
This year.
Right. Yeah, I think Tyquan Thornton is going to have a key role throughout the entire season. And it could end up being a wide receiver room that we look at in a month or so from now. We say, you know what? Actually, we went from, you know, being just dreadful and in lack of personnel all over the place to there is that scenario where
everybody
all of a sudden Worthy has his role and Rice, we know what he can be. And then you have Tyquan, and then you have Hollywood Brown, who is a nice intermediate wide receiver for you. And the pressure that is on any of those guys is far less if they're all on the field at the same time. And then not to mention, if Travis Kelce is going to really just be more of an occasional third down, move the chains guy at this point of his career. All right. That works if you have everybody else and their ability. I mean, there's the whole
Travis run is going to be getting single coverage from linebackers if the wide receiver unit lives up to the hype. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the question on the running game is still valid, and we'll get to that at some point later on today and throughout the week. We're just talking about the receiving game right now, but it's hard not to be excited to see what Tyquan Thornton has done. And it is funny. He was the official camp darling of 2025.
The first time we did Camp Darling Island, and somehow, well, in fairness, it was a runaway. Tyquan Thornton won the award fairly easily, I would say, all things considered. I didn't think his level, I thought they'd have to rely on, we did this conversation before the season. Who is the biggest beneficiary of Rashee Rice's absence? Who's going to get the targets? We mentioned Travis Kelce. We mentioned Hollywood Brown.
Juju
Juju Smith-Schuster. On this show, I don't think we got deep into the Tyquan Thornton part.
Patrick Mahomes last night was asked about Tyquan, and Patrick Mahomes says he's exceeded it after working out in Texas. Now, remember, he went down to Texas, Camp Pat, and all that. Tyquan was there and everything because Tyquan was signed towards the end of last season. Remember that? That actually looks like a genius move now in terms of already getting him in before last season even ended, based on now what you've seen the rapport between him and Mahomes. But Mahomes admitted that Tyquan's exceeded his expectations as well. So this is, I mean, anybody in the organization, you know, thinking that this is what he would be immediately, I don't know if that's even true. I think he's surprised everybody. And he's, of course, been pressed into more action due to the Worthy injury and, of course, the Rashee Rice suspension, which they probably had somewhat of an idea that was going to eventually happen. So it gives you some hope. Later on in the week, we'll talk about Baltimore. We'll see what Baltimore looks like tonight. But it gives you some hope that potentially, is there a chance that the offense can put something together? Did they, that first half, is that the worst first half we're going to see all year? Is that it? That's got to be it, right? That's got to be it.
Gold. It better be.
They're lucky they played the Giants, honestly, last night. They're
correct.
Lucky.
They are very fortunate. Very fortunate.
We talked about it last week. There is nothing from that game that I can come out of other than maybe Tyquan Thornton making a play that should make me feel like they're beating the Ravens this week.
Yeah.
There's nothing from that game.
We did that conversation last
week.
There's
the defense aspect, which we'll get to as well. The defense is now for 8 straight quarters look pretty damn good, but I hear you on the offense.
Yeah, the offensive end as far as like keeping up with Baltimore. Now, we're going to look at Baltimore tonight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they take them on. That better be the worst half of football I have to watch all year on offense. Or just in general. It was just so...
Worst half of NFL football from any 2 teams, please.
I can't even begin to describe how miserable of an experience it was for seemingly everyone as a collective. Every single person just being like, what is this grotesque version of football that we are being forced to watch. And then at the end of the game, again, you mentioned the Giants thing. This is where it comes into is you get Russell Wilson in a, you're down multiple scores. You are definitely like dead. You're dead in the water anyway. So you might as well try to make something happen. He puts three balls into like the 10th row of the stands. He doesn't even try. It looked like all three passes, he was attempting to throw it to a piece of equipment on the sideline, not a wide receiver.
Yeah, there's
including
no
on fourth down.
Yeah, there's no reason for Russ to start another football game in a Giants uniform. Yeah, the Chiefs were fortunate in that regard. The Giants are not well coached and their quarterback's a mess. Team, yeah. Just not a good football team. Did the Chiefs figure some things out last night? I do actually think they did. It doesn't mean that I think, oh, everything is good to go and now they're going to roll off 10 wins in a row. No, not what I'm saying at all. But they clearly have a legit deep threat in Thornton. They should get Worthy back soon. They will get Rashee Rice back in a couple weeks as well. And their defense is playing some really good football. Yes, that does give me some hope. As brutal it was in the first half to watch, and some of the other issues that I don't know if they are fixable. There's some things that are. There's some others that I don't know if they are. Most notably, once again, Juwan Taylor on the right tackle side getting a penalty. Could have been called for a legal formation probably five other times
in the
game.
Literally the snap after he was called for it. He could have been called for it again.
The broadcast had a graphic ready to go for Chris Collinsworth to break down. Everybody knew it was coming. Of course, our Monday football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building businesses and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at BuseyBank.com. On Friday's show, we were talking about how this NFL weekend could have been chaotic and weird, and certainly the way that 1 o'clock window of games or noon window of games ended, it was chaos and block kick, return kicks. It was insane. There's a lot of
field goals,
a lot of backup quarterbacks that were playing this weekend. You had Carson Wentz playing for the Vikings, for McCarthy, Browning for Burrow, and Mac Jones for Brock Purdy, Tyrod for Justin Fields, and you had Mariota for Jaden Daniels.
It was a lot for week three.
Uh-huh. Three of them got wins. Carson Wentz, Mac Jones, Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Jake Browning got the L's. We were having a conversation that went way too in-depth last Friday about the backups and who's the best or the worst.
I look smart for 1 week.
The answer is it's not Jake Browning.
He was awful. Drew, your team got killed.
Yeah, the worst loss in franchise history.
Killed!
Probably the worst I've ever seen them play in my lifetime. It was really bad.
Carson Wentz carved him up.
It wasn't even, see, to me, it wasn't the defense. It was the offense that put the defense in positions where eventually they just laid down and it was over.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those.
It was so bad on offense.
This is where I give the Chiefs a lot of credit. They don't just very rarely do they just get run out of a building. It happens every once in a while, but it is rare. They get run out of a building.
All it took was a half for that to happen.
We had that really lengthy conversation last week about backup quarterbacks. I wasn't trying to I think sometimes Drew thinks I'm doing it to get under skin. I'm not. I said I would have taken Jake Browning as the fourth guy out of five.
And
to
I
start
think
for
he,
my
I
team
had
as the backup
the
quarterback. And you said you would have had him third. You'd have had him in the middle of the pack. Drew said he would have had him first. I only feel emboldened by that based on what I saw over the weekend. Carson Wentz is better for the Vikings right now because he's a functional NFL quarterback who can run an offense. Mac Jones, given the right circumstances, can look passable. He was not perfect in that 49ers.
No, he threw a terrible
pick
late.
Yeah, and that game was hideous to watch. So I'm not saying he was perfect either. Washington was up so easy, Mariota barely had to lift a finger in order to get him a win. But Jake Browning gave the game away by the end of the first quarter. It didn't matter. That game was done.
It didn't help when
three fumbles
Samaje
Perine
fumbled and Chase Brown fumbled and Jamar Chase fumbled. It was really bad.
That was the Bungles. That's what that performance was.
Yeah.
That's what
very
they
fair
were.
Analysis.
What they looked like. They're
five turnovers.
They're 2-1. Carson Wentz is going to be the starter there for Minnesota for a couple more weeks, at least with the McCarthy injury. Jake Browning, obviously the starter for at least for 3 months. Mac Jones, I think Purdy's back next week. Tyrod Taylor, I don't know if it really matters. It's the Jets. And then Marcus Mariota, Jaden Daniels could miss one more week. We'll see. I don't think it's a long-term deal there, but
the Jets are crazy because they easily could be 2-1 instead. They're 0-3. Easily could be 2-1.
They keep blowing.
The Jets are just,
and the cardiac kids, the Tampa Bay Bucks, 3-0. And all three, they could have easily won. They could be 0-3 to go with it. I will say, Drew, you should just have the Bengals funeral now. It's over. Their next four games are Broncos, Lions, Packers, Steelers. It's done.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's tough. Done, dude.
It's tough.
It's done. That's not going to go great.
It is, you know, if they
lose. Where's that Hooters outfit? You want to go ahead and start trying it on to see if it'll fit for a couple months?
No, if they lose the next four games, they should go ahead and get ready to draft the best player in the draft.
Yeah, you should be hoping they lose.
Seventh pick. Yeah, with the sixth or seventh pick, they'll pick the best player in the draft. That's fine by me.
Again, for those that don't know, the bet has nothing to do with the Chiefs. It was strictly would the Bengals make the playoffs or not. Unfortunately for Drew, Joe Burrow got hurt.
I will say this, though.
That was the bet. Had nothing to do with Kansas City. You were very confident that they were making the playoffs.
I do have something saved in the bank for if the Chiefs somehow miss the playoffs.
Okay. Saved in the bank as in like audio bank or you
audio
think
bank,
you,
yes. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Gotcha.
A collection of takes from the two of you.
Oh, that's fine.
About the Chiefs or about Cincinnati?
No, the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely off on how they've looked so far this year.
Yeah.
We will not be alone in that department.
If you're asking me to give you an update, do I think the Chiefs are making the playoffs? Yes, I do.
Yes. I think they will.
Some new audio for you. The Chiefs will still make the playoffs despite a 1-2 start on September 22nd.
It would be stunning if they did not make the playoffs. It would be.
I'm not worried about that. I'm really not. If they would have lost last night, different conversation.
They were missing the playoffs.
Who do they have the next two? They got the Ravens and then Jags, right?
Schedule's brutal.
Jags are no pushover. They're not like great, but they're not a pushover. They're not as bad as the Giants. How about that? Is that a compliment? Feels like a compliment.
They're not as bad as a lot of teams that we saw yesterday. If
all right,
what we saw yesterday is any indication for how the rest of the year is going to go.
Up next, we will talk about the defense that shut down Malik Nabers and has played very, very well the last eight quarters. But let's talk about someone that has been so important during this run for the Chiefs. But is it a problem now? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
40-yard attempt by Butker near hash. He's hit it from 54, but that hit the left upright, caromed over. Then he's got another field goal to 48. This is a 40-yarder from the near hash, trying to get points out of the turnover. The interception by Christian Roland Wallace. Snap is down, and Butker's kick. It's to the right, and it is wide right. No good.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan yesterday. We'll get into the defense here in about 8 minutes or so, but I think now 3 weeks from the season, when you've had as many misses as Harrison Butker has had, I think it's worth a conversation and curious to get your guys' thoughts on the text line as well of how concerned you are with Harrison Butker. Is this a real problem for the Chiefs and their kicking game going forward? We all know there are plenty of bigger issues with this team, right, that we've discussed the first
two, three weeks
by no means isn't, you know, and maybe that's why the attention to it is not going to be as high as it would be in a year where everybody else was at a high level and this would be the only thing. But four missed kicks in three games, I don't know any other city, any other football team that it would not be a conversation, right? So this to me is not crazy at all to be discussing what I think is a legitimate issue right now. Everybody understands throughout his career, he was responsible for some of the biggest kicks in the NFL over the last 20 years. That's a fact. Yep. It just is some of the biggest kicks. This team doesn't go to a couple of these Super Bowls without his leg knocking through a couple long, long field goals in AFC title games.
Had to make a whole bunch of kicks against Philly the first time they won that Super Bowl.
That is all true. He, to me, has still been one of the more clutch kickers in NFL history. But when you miss four kicks in three games, it's a problem.
I think it's, and I don't mean, maybe it's too early to call. I think he's not the same Harrison Butker, and I don't know that he's ever going to be the same Harrison Butker. He hasn't been right for well over an entire year. We're talking about like gold. We're starting to come in on like a year and a half of Harrison Butker not looking like the same kicker as before. And part of this was The postseason stuff has thrown me off. It should absolutely be a huge topic. Now, we can just start the topic real quick with, well, then just get rid of him. Bad news on that front. He is owed a ton of money this year and would be a ton of money to cut. He is owed a ton of money next year and would be a ton of money to cut. It would actually cost you more money to get rid of Harrison Butker by $3 million than it would be to keep Harrison Butker on your team next year.
Yeah.
So that part of the equation is probably just a, you're going to have to live with this for a little bit. But what I don't think, what I think has happened here, and I was guilty of it as well, what I think has happened here, we've allowed his postseason success to skew the kind of kicker he's been for the better part of 5 or 6 years. In the last 5 years, this is what he is. Right now, he's 23rd in the NFL in field goal percentage at 77.8%. That's a bad percentage, by the way. Not that that surprises you. Last year, he finished 20th in field goal percentage. He missed 3 games, but he only made 84% of his kick. That's also bad. In 2023, he was the 5th best. 94.3% of his kicks. Now, that means there were 4 guys who made more than that. Kudos to them, by the way. But he made a huge percentage of his kicks. They won the Super Bowl that year, too. We're all probably fine. 2022, 30th. Of qualified kickers in field goal percentage, only made 75% of his kicks. Also missed 3 games that year. 89% in 2021, 92%. I think it's pretty easy to figure it out here. He got hurt in 2022, and he's been broken pretty much ever since. Or he's hurt again, and in the two previous years in which he was hurt and not good, that's what happened here.
Yeah, he had the knee drop thing again last night on one of the kicks, too. And I believe he made that kick.
It was the one where, that went off the upright.
Yeah, the one, it was still a doink. It went in, but that was the one. So I don't know if he's not healthy, and Dave Toe will speak later on this week. I don't know if we're going to find out that the knee is a problem again. But yeah, the numbers, it is very clear there's been a drop-off. He's now, since then, still made the big postseason kicks and all that. I still think if you're asking me, compared to go picking up a kicker off the street, I don't trust some other kicker to make a clutch kick. This is more of an off-season conversation as far as I'm concerned. Like, it is a problem in this season, no doubt. But I don't think the solution exists in season. You know what I mean? You have other teams that have already made kicking changes for kickers that don't have any track record, right? Like, I think the Niners cut Jake Moody after one week, and now they got Eddie Pinheiro, who's been on probably 15 teams at this point in time in the NFL. So there's not really better options out there. It's an off-season convo, but the financials are the financials. And when you're paid like the highest paid kicker in the league and like the best kicker in the league, and these are the numbers, it's problematic in a team that has soon to be a new contract for your quarterback in the offseason. Trent McDuffie's need to get paid in the offseason. It's a reason why they moved on also from Tommy Townsend. They couldn't afford to have the highest paid punter, the highest paid kicker in football. And so now they have Matt Araiza, who also, by the way, looks to have fixed some of his issues with punting from last season. So that's a positive sign with the special teams unit. But the percentages are pretty startling to see spread out over the last couple of years. And it is now the point where before you would just trust Butker no matter what to make the kick. Like that was the thought process in Kansas City. I don't think you can feel that way. It doesn't mean that on Sunday he can't kick a 60-yarder to win a game. No, but he also might miss the 45-yarder now. That's the difference for me.
So, like, the postseason stuff is very true. But I looked at, over the last, the same time that he's been making these postseason kicks, last, like, 5-6 years, there's about 10 guys in the NFL who makes kicks at that rate. I'm not saying that
longer
they also...
longer kicks than
I'm not saying that, like, I'm just saying, like, 90%, about a third kicks at that rate. So, like, was he just one of the 10 best kickers and he was just kicking like one of the 10 best kickers in the postseason and 10 other guys would have made those kicks? I don't know. I can't erase his big postseason kicks and give them to somebody else just because they hit that normal percentage. But you're right in the sense that they're going to have to sweat it. And if he was a cheap kicker, they would be talking about bringing in a kicker this week. If he was a cheap kicker and one that they could get rid of financially, they would this week, we would get the headline just like Pinheiro and it would say, Chiefs bring in kicker to practice this week. Let's see what they got. That's probably how this would be going.
It's that, and if it wasn't for that. It's that, but also they have the same special teams coordinator throughout his entire career. Yeah. He does have the history of winning games for them. So all that is why I don't think they're doing anything right this second. But if another game happens, I mean, 3 weeks to me is enough for a kicker to have 4 kicks missed. Like that's enough to, you know, warning signs should be all over the place at this point. But does it take him, you know, truly missing a shot at a truly game-winning kick? I understand there's been 3 games where you look at the Eagles and they lose by 3 points and you can pinpoint the miss there. I'm saying, will it take it's Baltimore and the Chiefs drive down with 30 seconds to go.
It's a 40-yarder to win.
And it's a 40-yarder to win and he misses it, or a 35-yarder to win, he misses it. Will it take that for people that are still skeptical about his struggles to be on board. I hope he rights the ship. I'm a little concerned he's not healthy, Cody. I'm a little worried that the knee is a problem again, and that would be less correctable.
So I wonder if that's because he was trying to kick through the issues. That's why he was going down to the knee. I wonder if that's not like the reason he did it last night. Not to say because he might be hurt for all we know. Could that also be something where it's like he got so used to just doing that to help support his leg where it's just muscle memory now where it might throw it and it's making it harder for him to make these field goals where every now and then the muscle memory, he'll just go down to the knee and he pushes it. Because a lot of the field goals, it seems like if he's missed right.
Yeah, pretty consistently.
It seems
and
like.
Look, and I'll point out, like the text line says it too, 816, Mike Vanderjagt. Like a lot of times it's like any other kickers are not immune to this different than anyone else. Like one day Justin Tucker wasn't as good as he wasn't Justin Tucker anymore. He was a good kicker.
That was a couple years ago.
He was a fine NFL kicker. Take out the personal stuff aside for a minute, right. Just talking about the kicking part of it. He wasn't the same guy as he was before. But Drew, the injury stuff, it's not hard to figure out. Do I think he's hurt? Yes. In the last 6 years, in the 3 years, he did not miss a single game. He made 92, 89, and 94% of his kicks. In the 2 years, he missed games. 75 and 84%. So far, he's making 77. Seems like there's a pretty good chance Harrison Butker's dinged up. He's hurt. His knee's hurt. Something's hurt. Based on just historical evidence over the last 6 years, when he misses games, he misses kicks.
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch throughout most of the season now, it seems like. And will that eventually impact how Andy Reid calls a third down, goes for it on a fourth down? We'll see as the season goes on. Right now, I'm sure he'll be asked about it at noon when you hear Andy Reid speak, and I'm sure he'll say he's got all the confidence in the world in Harrison Butker and all that. But they probably wouldn't say publicly if he was hurt. That's one of those deals where like the player basically would have to acknowledge it kind of thing. If it's an injury that you're playing through, this happens in baseball more than football, but I would have to come from Butker himself. The coaches are not going to use that as an excuse or anything like that. So it's a problem though. And I hope it's something that in a weird way, can heal up if it is an injury and you see a little bit more consistency from Butker. But 3 weeks in, four kicks would be a problem for any other franchise. In Kansas City, he's got a little bit more of a track record, obviously, as being one of the more successful kickers in clutch time and everything. So he gets a longer leash. Totally get it. But he is the highest paid kicker in football. There has to be still an expectation of the type of performance you get from your kicker when you're getting paid that kind of money. And someone says, hey, guys, he struggled at the beginning of the season in 2020. Guys, it's 2025. That was 5 years ago. Like, yes, he turned around in 2020, but to the point about, the age catches up eventually to everybody kind of thing. And sometimes you don't have it anymore. That was 5 years ago, with all due respect on that. Like, that to me is not a good example to use.
Over the last 4 years, he's a below average kicker on average. He's got two good years in there, one good year in there. But over the last 4 years, he is the, on average, 18th to 22nd best kicker in the NFL over the last 4 years in total. I don't care what he did in 2020. That was five, almost 6 years ago. We're talking about a guy who's like that 19th best kicker. But the problem is also cost-benefit analysis, like you mentioned with the price. For the same reasons, we're annoyed at Jawan Taylor, who we can get to in a minute, who is also a massive problem on this team, and cannot continue to be allowed to make mistakes every single week without any recourse. But, like, you can't be both the highest paid and below average. It doesn't work. Like, if you're going to be below average or average or anything else in the kicking game, well, then be average paid or be a rookie or be low paid or be something in between, not the highest paid kicker in football.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk about the AFC West that now has a team all alone atop the division. That, of course, is the Chargers 3-0 with three division wins. We'll get into that Chargers-Broncos game a little bit, what we saw out of Bo Nix, what we continue to see out of Justin Herbert and the Chargers, their win yesterday out in L.A. On a positive note, because we obviously talked about Harrison Butker, that's clearly a concern. On a positive note, I will say this defense now has put together eight quarters of really good football. It doesn't mean that I suddenly think they're just getting after the quarterback every snap without blitzing. No,
that's still the part of the game where I'm like, I'd like a little more pass rush. But, yeah.
But once again, Steve Spagnuolo, look at what happened in week one. When guys were obviously out of their spots, not doing their job, miscommunication. To look fast forward now and heading into week four already, there's clearly been a jolt of confidence, I think, for some young players, and they're playing a few of them a little bit more. They, in the secondary, have been shutting down A.J. Brown, now Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers just had his lowest career receiving total ever. that's pretty impressive to this point in time. So I think the defense now, eight quarters, has given me some confidence that I think they can continue to get better defensively. And they're going to have to. We talk about all the offensive issues. The defense, once again, is going to have to prop up the offense, at least for the time being. And we wondered after week one, can that happen? Like, can they get there?
How quickly
and,
can they figure
and
that?
They did it very, very quickly.
Matt McMullen put out the stat this morning. Since week one of 2023, so two seasons plus, the three games this year, the Chiefs are the number one ranked point per game defense in the NFL. So, I mean, that probably speaks a lot. The volumes goal that you're talking about, shutting down Malik Nabers was their most impressive feat yet. Malik Nabers is a star. He also is strong where you are weak. He's great in man coverage. He is great against smaller corners. The Chiefs have guys like Trent McDuffie, whose size is maybe the only thing that they can attack you regularly on when you're as good as he is. Like, that should have been a difficult matchup. That man did not have a catch until the third quarter, and it was like one or three in the whole game, right? He had like the one, and then he got another one like late garbage time when it really didn't matter, and he still had to earn that one. There was the pass interference call in which Trent McDuffie gave up. Oh, no, that was on Wandell. So, like, when you start looking at the entirety of it, they have played tremendous defense for eight straight quarters, and that is without, I think, an elite-level pass rush. So the secondary to me deserves massive amounts of credit.
No doubt, the secondary, and to me, this is a Spags conversation once again. I mean,
the split safety coverage they ran in this game against Russell Wilson, nobody else was running.
Yeah, he's the best. Like, Steve Spagnuolo is the best. I mean, the personnel that he has right now on the front should be better, but he's making it work with what he has. That's what you're supposed to do as a head coach. Figure it out. Here's the personnel. You still have to figure it out, and they have figured out game by game, right? The plan that they had against Russell Wilson will not be the plan, obviously, they're going to have Sunday against Lamar Jackson. Now, they have a decent track record, actually, of figuring out Lamar. I'm kind of excited because I think this defense is going to play well enough to give him a chance on Sunday. I don't know about the offense, but the defense, to me, is going to give him a chance to win against Baltimore because of what we continue to see. You notice that it's becoming clear that kind of the rotation, if you will, in the back end of that secondary, because Trent McDuffie was able to play inside a little bit more this past week, because you know who's looked pretty good? Jalen Watson. Jalen Watson's been very good the last eight quarters.
Yep.
Noah Williams, Drew, playing a little bit more. He's becoming clearly the nickel corner for this team at this point in time. They trust him a little more. He's still probably a little grabby, a little handsy, you know, and is fortunate not to get called on that. That's something to watch moving forward. But those two players stepping up has allowed Trent McDuffie to move around a little bit more. And obviously, Trent McDuffie's locking guys down anyway. But if it wasn't for a ball that was underthrown to Devonta Smith against the Eagles, they haven't given up anything to any wide receiver since week one. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they really haven't.
Quentin Johnson got him a little.
Well, in week one, they had issues. Guys were 30, nobody was in 15 yards of these guys.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, it was more like they had issues knowing where they were supposed to stand, I would say, more than they were having issues in coverage. It is a very good defense. Once again, very clearly a very good defense, despite the fact you would think that they'd be aging in a few areas. Chris Jones and Nick Bolton. And Nick Bolton's not old, but you know how it is in the NFL, where they try to move on from you in the little early going. Spags is incredible, man. I don't care. Every year when you do if you do a year in review with him, just give him whatever raise he wants. I still think because he's a defensive-minded guy, no one will ever give him another head coaching job, even though I think that might be a mistake, because the players love him. And there is no team in the NFL, no coach in the NFL better at designing defense than Steve Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
But, pay him whatever the man wants. Because the only reason, and they could easily be, the Chiefs could easily be 2-1. 3-0, that's a stretch. I don't think they were ever really in the game against the Chargers. That's supposed to be a loss.
No, the defense was awful in week one.
Yeah, that's a loss 99% of the time. Mahomes was the only reason they even had a slight chance in that game. But they could easily be 2-1 if the offense had come to the table because of what Steve Spagnuolo has done. I guess I have to assume that for the next three games, maybe they can just keep it ugly enough. Like you said, keep it ugly enough against the Lions and Amon-Ra and Lamar Jackson and, you know, Trevor Lawrence and crew. They're going to have some weapons go up against them in these next few weeks. They're going to have to figure out a way to continue to do this.
You feel like the defense to this point is by no means perfect, and there's still issues, but they have come along quick enough to give you hope that, they're going to be in all these games while they wait for hopefully the offense to figure it out. And if the offense doesn't figure it out consistently, to me, they're still going to be in games because of the defense. Now, I don't know what's that win total look like. It's a different conversation. But the defense, as well coached as they are as a unit, And with what they have, to me, still personnel-wise in the secondary, because I think Jalen Watson is playing at a very high level to go along with McDuffie, which has kind of changed the game the last 2 weeks for them. Doing that is going to give them a chance to win some football games. So, yeah, that's to me, other than Tyquan Thornton, the two biggest positives out of the game last night. One, Tyquan Thornton. Two, it's just that this defense for eight quarters, to me, has played football where good enough football where they should be, at this point, capable of beating anybody from a defensive unit, right?
Yeah.
From a defensive unit. Offense is not good enough to beat anybody, duh. But their defense, they could, to me, they can come up with a game plan that keeps them in a game with whether it's Baltimore or Detroit or whoever.
They played one of the most hideous halves of offensive football I've seen, maybe the most hideous half of football I've seen from them offensively in the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era. And they were winning at half. If you need some effort of defensive ability in this. They had multiple turnovers when they needed them the worst. They got sacks when they needed them the worst. George Karloftis. Now, I don't understand why you're running run option plays with a 92-year-old Russell Wilson. Brian Daboll's an idiot. So, like, good, but you made the, Karloftis made the play.
He did.
Right? Like, they are making their biggest plays at their biggest moments. But the thing that stands out to me, last thing on the defense, I know, but like the thing that stands out to me most, Cold, is there were times in which the defense started slow. And we talked about with Spags. But there's also times with their defense where they used to be like a little more bend, don't break. And it was like, well, we'll let you get in the red zone. We'll make you settle for a field goal. The last eight quarters have not been that. They're just beating teams up. They're forcing them to punt. This game, they got the ball back. Like, they're beating them up more than just, we'll let you get some and then we'll clamp down. Like, no, they're kind of kicking their ass a little bit for a huge chunk of the half and forcing them into a lot of negative yards or negative situation plays. The only guy in offense who looked even slightly capable last year or last night for the Giants was Scadaboo.
Yeah, he's fun to watch,
Tracy,
isn't he?
Himself. He that's, runs like that's prime what, Peyton Hillis.
That's what he was at Arizona State. That's why people liked him. He was he's fun to watch, and it's hard not to like watching his style. I mean, he just runs dudes over. He's an old school type of back, high energy and all that. And I don't know how serious the Tyrone Tracy injury is for the Giants, but Scadaboo's only it clearly is going to continue to play more and more. He's one of their better playmakers on that offense.
I mean, I would just, I don't know why you wouldn't just start Scadaboo right now. Tyron Tracy won the job for the same reason Scadaboo can win it now.
Mm-hmm.
They had running back. Tracy was around. He was the best guy running, so they gave him the job. He's not, it's not like Saquon. I mean, you know, you can replace Tyron Tracy. It looked like he separated his shoulders, what it kind of looked like to me.
Yeah.
The way he was holding.
Not sure.
It felt like everybody was going down with shoulder injuries in the NFL. Like, right after the, just felt like everybody was like holding their shoulder.
There was definitely, I mean, we can talk about there was definitely some key injuries in the NFL. James Conner looks like is out for the season.
Najee Harris out too.
Najee Harris.
Key injury, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I just didn't think Najee was going to do like worlds for that offense.
No, I mean, Hampton hasn't done anything yet. He will now have every opportunity there with the Chargers.
He had a good game. He had an okay game yesterday. He was much better yesterday. Maybe that's just because he was on the field versus the other, but at least he was on the field. Honestly, it's nice to have a couple of nice things to say about the Chiefs and the fact that they got a win, Gold, you know?
All right, now back to the problems, though. Offensive line again.
You
offensive line again. We all know the Juwan Taylor thing. Juwan Taylor is very fortunate. He wasn't called 4 or 5 times for illegal formation.
Mm-hmm.
NBC definitely had a graphic ready immediately for Chris Collins. Remember, he's who kind of started the whole spotlight on it. Now, Juwan Taylor has never adjusted, in fairness, so it's his problem. It's not Chris Collins' problem. NBC's problem or anything like that. But yet again, it happened. We're now into week 4. There was the quote after the week 1 game in which Matt Nagy said something along the lines of like, we've made it, I'm paraphrasing.
No uncertain terms.
Yeah, we've made it clear that like, that it can't happen. Okay, so, or what? And as we said at the time, well, this year there's an option behind him. His name is Jalen Moore. And so, are we any closer to that happening? Did they feel like otherwise he played good enough that they're confident in keeping him in the game? I told you, I don't think we're going to see in-game switches. So the question to me will always be midweek. And then ultimately on game day, do we start to see, he's out there with the ones differently. People wanting the in-game switches, I don't think Andy's going to embarrass a veteran. He's pulled Kingsley before. That was a rookie. He gave Juwan Taylor one drive off a year or so ago. In terms of like actually removing him from the starting job, I don't think they're going to do that. So it has to be these midweek discussions, in my opinion.
If you had the public admonishment, this is the same as like being a parent. I can't tell my kid, if you do that again, you're grounded. And then they do it again and I don't ground them. What was the point, as you said in Matt Nagy's comments, if you're not benching him this week? He did it again, multiple times. He was guilty of multiple penalties again. And so, like,
he also didn't play that great.
No,
either.
He was getting beat
as well.
Beat.
Yes.
Now, look, I think everyone, like, Simmons got beat a couple. The offensive line was just not good. Simmons got beat a couple times. Kingsley got beat a couple of times, and so did Juwan Taylor. And so did Trey.
I still maintain that the biggest frustration with the offense is offensive line, as much as it's the Juwan Taylor thing. It's also the two guys that you thought you just don't have to worry about, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. I don't think they have played that great the first 3 weeks of the season, guys.
They have not been 99% guys. I agree.
Yeah, like, and do I have confidence that they can get there? Yes, they have the, once talking about track record, they have the track record. Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey have been some of the better offensive linemen, period, in football throughout their career. But right now, they're not playing like they're top five at their position or anything like that. And that hurts when you already have an issue at right tackle, when you're trying to bring along a second-year guard in Kingsley, when you have a rookie left tackle. I need my center and right guard that are two of the highest paid in football to play like it. I don't think they have played to their normal standard.
Mitchell Schwartz was questioning whether Trey Smith was hurt last night.
I don't know. Yeah.
He was saying, is he hurt? I've never seen him get beat in ways like this. Some guys barely even rushing him and he's losing. That's uncommon. So, like, he was even, like, Trey played weird enough last night that even Mitchell Schwartz was like, is he healthy? Is that a part of the equation?
I hope that's not what it is.
I'm just pointing it out as a part of it. You cannot. Like, it's malpractice, but you can't start Juwan Taylor this week. It's time for Jalen Moore. I'm sorry. He's had every opportunity to fix the mistakes he's making. Lining up is a personal choice. You can look to your left and see where you lined up. This is a personal choice. You are making a decision and hoping they don't call you for it. He was more offsides on the play after, a pivotal play after, than the one he had just gotten called for. So he didn't even adjust play to play, Gold. He was more offsides the second time.
Yeah, it should have been called earlier in the game. I was stunned it took a couple drives into the game or whatever it was for that penalty to occur. And, of course, it occurred on a big third down. That's when they always get called for him.
You know, it's always the run and the scramble.
It's always something like that. We could talk about the will there be a switch throughout later on in the week and everything. I'm not confident that they're going to make that switch. But if Matt Nagy's out here making those comments, then what's the point of even say if you're not willing to make the switch?
I agree.
They may view it. I think when we talked about this after week one, I said, I think they're going to give him a month. That would be one more game. I understand the fan base would say, why wait for it to happen again? You know it's going to happen on Sunday against Baltimore. What are you doing? So I totally get that argument. I tend to think they're going to give him another week, although I don't know what the point is. I mean, this is clearly not something he's ever going to fix.
No.
This is who he is.
He's made his decisions.
This is who he is as a football player. All right. Up next, let's talk about the AFC West. The Chargers, unfortunately, all alone atop the AFC West. And then we'll talk about the much-discussed Andy Reid, Travis Kelce sideline incident.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.